Turned out to be a very beautiful Lord's Day. Started off a little rainy, had a little spell there in the middle of the day, but certainly a beautiful evening. Sun is shining, and it's good to be gathered with you once again here in this place. While you're looking there at Exodus chapter 3, I want you to consider what I want to talk about tonight is the idea of being rescued. And as you look there at the verses that Chris just read for us, probably, I'm reading the New American Standard, the version you have may have the word delivered there in verse 8 of Exodus chapter 3. But let me suggest to you that I really think the translation, this is one of the places the NIV really does a better job. And what God is saying there is, so I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. And I think that word means more to us. That word conveys the correct idea to us because, let's face it, in 2019 America, the word delivered has become pretty benign to us. If I say the word delivered, you think, oh, that's what happens to packages and pizzas, right? So I just don't think it has the impact on us. But when you think of the word rescued, then you begin to get the idea. And when you think about how God describes what he saw when he looked down in Egypt in verse 7, the idea of a rescue just fits more appropriately. It says, I've seen the affliction, I've given heed to their cry, and I am aware of their sufferings, so I have come down to rescue them. And that's what God did to his people, bringing them out of Egypt. Now, the reason I have this word on my mind, or the reason I've been thinking about this, is because of our study in Galatians that's going on now. And as I was preparing to talk about, for us to discuss Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, in the New American Standard, this is the way it's worded. And when we talk about what God did for us through Christ, talking of Christ here, Paul writes and says, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. And what I realize there is, as I read the other versions that use the word deliver, we might read that word and keep going. But maybe the word rescue draws us in a little bit more. Maybe if we think about being rescued, we stop and ponder again the wonder of what God has done for us. Let me suggest to you that there are terms we may use, and perfectly appropriate terms, but don't really convey the idea of being rescued. If I talk about having been baptized, or that I joined the church or became a member of the church, or even that I've been converted, I don't know that we fully appreciate the impact and import of what God has done for us when Jesus gave himself. We were rescued. We were in distress. We were needing saving. Let me suggest to you that a better grasp of this truth ought to produce a more genuine emotional response in us when we think about it this way. So, to think about the idea of being rescued, first we'll take a quick look at the word. The word here translated rescue, or to rescue, means to take out or to deliver. Now, I'll pause there for a few seconds because I know I already mentioned pizza. And so when you see the words take out and deliver, probably at least some of you are thinking about pizzas right now. I did. So go ahead, chuckle for a couple seconds if you want to about that. But then we want to get serious again, because what we're talking about is being rescued. What we're talking about is more akin to the idea of being carried out of a burning building. And that's what I want us to think about when we think about rescued or being rescued. That word there, as we defined it, we learn that it's a compound word. It's the combination of a couple different words, one that means completely out from, and the other, the idea of personally choosing or preferring. So as you think about that first part of that, it certainly emphasizes total removal. But as you read that phrase there, I want you to realize the absolute nature of what we're talking about when the Bible talks about rescuing. It's something that's totally removed, something wholly out from, a complete rescue, bringing a person into full deliverance. There's nothing, no half measures here. It's certainly complete or completely out in form. And the idea of that second half there, that personally choose or prefer, lets us know that in this instance, it's not something that happens by accident. Thayer goes on to describe this word, or this aspect then of the combat word, to say this about rescue. The person who does so, the person doing the rescuing. So think about God when we're talking about God rescuing his people. Having a special interest in the result of his act. Doesn't happen by accident. And certainly I think as we think back to Exodus chapter 3, we can say, I get that. Those were his people. That was his chosen people, his special people. Those were his people. And it makes sense. He had a special interest in bringing those people up out of Egypt. But let me suggest to you that, as conveyed in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, God had a special interest in what he did for us through his son. God had a special interest in you, in saving and rescuing you. If you turn over to the book of Acts, and we'll start in chapter 7, because to get a better idea of this word rescue and how it's used particularly in the New Testament, it might interest you to find out that our scripture in Exodus chapter 3 is quoted in Stephen's speech in the book of Acts, and that then several uses of the word rescue in the book of Acts provide excellent commentary for the word rescue that will fully understand what all this word entails. And as you get there in Acts chapter 7, let me suggest to you that first we read about folks being rescued in the book of Acts. The first way it manifests itself is folks are rescued from slavery. Begin reading with me in Acts chapter 7 in verse 9. It says, and the patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt, and yet God was with him and rescued him from all his afflictions and granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his household. What we're told there is reminded this, that the patriarchs, Joseph's brothers, became jealous of him. And you'll recall that story beginning back in Genesis chapter 37 where Joseph was his father's favorite. And it was clear that he was his father's favorite. And his brothers literally became jealous of him. They faked his death, as Gary alluded to this morning in his sermon, and they sold him into slavery in Egypt. Yet, Stephen reminds his audience here, God was with him. He was sold into slavery, but God was with him, allowed him to be purchased and placed in the house of Potiphar. And God was with him so much so that it became obvious to Potiphar that God was with him, that all he touched would be successful. And Potiphar elevated him in his household. Yet you'll remember the incident with Potiphar's wife. So once again, then now Joseph is found in prison, but once again, God is with him. And he comes to prominence. He's brought to the attention of Pharaoh and ultimately becomes second only to Pharaoh in authority in all the land was Egypt. God was with him, and out of slavery, God rescued him. And as we think about the scope of being rescued from slavery, the simple things we can learn from the story of Joseph as we look back and as we reflect is first, when God saved from slavery, he saved him from all of his afflictions. From his distress and the things, the tribulations, struggles, and trials of this life. That when Joseph was rescued, he was granted favor. That he found favor in the sight of Potiphar and in the sight of Pharaoh. And then ultimately the last thing, the last detail we might pick up on here as Stephen recounts this story is when he was rescued from slavery, he was made to reign. Joseph was elevated to position of authority, again, second only to Pharaoh in Egypt. Farther over in the book of Acts, we'll be turning over to chapter 12. And what we'll also realize when someone is rescued, another aspect of this is they're rescued from a death sentence. Turn to Acts chapter 12. We pretty much will have to read that. We'll read the first 11 verses really to capture this story, to remember this episode. And as you get there in Acts chapter 12 and beginning with verse 1, it says, now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. That was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. What do you think he had in mind for Peter? He caught James. He had killed James. And that made the people very happy. Now he's caught Peter, and he intends to bring him out before the people. Pick it up in verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. And on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and roused him, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and then the second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." So say here, Peter is rescued from a death sentence. He understands what was going to happen to him. Peter, it says, came to himself. When the angel disappeared, Peter goes, "Aha, so this is really happening. This seemed like a dream to me. Chains falling off, doors opening up, guards not noticing as I just walked out of the prison, and now I know this really happened. Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel, and his angel has rescued me." And again, in this instance, being rescued from a sure death sentence. That's what Herod had given James. That's what had been well received, and Herod wanted to give them more of what they wanted. So as we think about this episode of a rescue of someone in the book of Acts, we understand that he was rescued from the intentions of his oppressor. That's what the political powers wanted for him at the time. But also he was rescued from what those around him that persecuted him wanted him to get. We see that Peter was rescued from what his persecutors wanted for him, what he calls the expectations of the Jewish people. So here, one was rescued from a death sentence. A little later in the book of Acts, again, looking at the uses of this word rescue and what we can learn from it, if you turn over a little time, what we learned at is people, when they're rescued just in the nick of time. Turn back to Acts chapter 23, if you would. And while you're turning to Acts 23, I'll remind you of a little background here. Paul was seized in the temple in Acts chapter 21, and he was arrested. And then he was rescued from being beaten by a Jewish mob, by a Roman commander that came on the scene. In Acts chapter 22, Paul is allowed to give his defense before the mob, but they don't like what he has to say, and they would fall on him and hurt him again, but the Roman commander pulls him out of that. But since the Roman commander can't figure out what this is all about, he orders Paul scourged or whipped to try to get to the bottom of this. And Paul reminds him, "Hey, wait, man, I'm a Roman citizen." And so the commander thinks differently of that. In chapter 3, then Paul is brought back before the Sanhedrin Council, that ruling council of the Jews. And Paul stands to give his defense. And you remember that Paul throws out the issue of the resurrection and creates a conflict between the Pharisees and the Sadducees on the council. So that kind of blows up the commander's face. And as he's taking Paul back to prison, he's informed of a plot to kill Paul. So now here's this Roman commander who has this prisoner. He's not really sure what's going on, but he does know he's a Roman citizen. He doesn't want to have a prisoner that's a Roman citizen murdered on his watch. So he makes a decision to send Paul down to Caesarea to put him in the custody of the governor, Felix. So they're in Acts chapter 23. We'll pick up the reading in verse 26. This is the letter that Roman commander from Jerusalem writes to send with those men who would be taking Paul down to Caesarea. And beginning the letter in verse 26 says, "Claudius Lysias, to the most excellent governor Felix, greetings. When this man was arrested by the Jews and was about to be slain by them, I came upon them with the troops and rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman." So what you see is Paul was just about to die. Paul, it says, was about to be slain, my version says. Your version says may have, was about to be killed. He was about to be killed by these people. They were about to kill him when he was rescued. So his rescue came in the nick of time. If you think about this, his rescue came when he was as good as dead. We might say that. You know, sometimes these movies about death row, when they come down to get the prisoner whose turn it is to be executed, and they start him down the row, they get dead man walking. He's not dead yet, but he's as good as dead. They're about to kill him. But I want you to notice that Paul was rescued in the nick of time. He was rescued when he was as good as dead. And then also one other little detail here I want you to consider. Paul was saved by his citizenship. That played a big role in the decision to deliver and to rescue Paul. And then one more example, where here in the book of Acts, and again we're just using uses of this word rescue in the book of Acts to give us a full comprehensive understanding of the import and impact of what this word means. And let me suggest to you that when folks are rescued in the book of Acts, we see that rescued, but rescued with a purpose. Turn over to Acts 26, if you would. Back just a couple pages, one or two pages in your Bible. Perhaps, and when we get to Acts chapter 26, what we have is Paul's third retelling of his conversion on the road to Damascus. And here as Paul is telling this to Agrippa, he gets to the place and starts recounting the conversation that Jesus had with him on the road to Damascus. And we'll pick up reading in verse 15. Here's Paul again recounting the conversation between he and Jesus, which Jesus had initially spoken to him. Paul replies, verse 15, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the Jewish people and from Gentiles to whom I am sending you." The New American Standard Update says, "rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you." And certainly as you think about where Paul was at this point, up to this point, Paul was a persecutor of the church, wasn't he? Paul would have been a hero of the Jews. He was on his way to Damascus to kill those who were enemies of Judaism. But Jesus knows, with what I have in mind for you, Paul, you're going to need rescuing from the Jewish people. You're going to become enemy number one of the Jewish people. My plan for you involves preserving you, protecting you, saving you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles. At a point, as Paul goes around the world preaching that message that turns the world upside down, that civil upheaval that happens sometimes is going to bring him in conflict with the civil authorities, the Gentiles, the Roman world. And in fact, as we just talked about in the previous example, ultimately it's that conflict with the Roman government that leads him all the way to Rome, to Caesar. So Jesus, with his special mission for Paul, promises to rescue him. And he rescues Paul again with a purpose. So we read about people being rescued in the book of Acts. One of the things we might see it rescued with a purpose. If you want to think about what is that purpose, let's just read verse 18. "To open their eyes, so that may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. See, Paul's rescued, but rescued with a purpose. Jesus tells it there in verse 18, Paul, you're rescued to go to preach me to other people for the purpose of opening their eyes. Through the gospel message that you'll preach, you want to turn them from darkness to light. And you're going to have this purpose. You're going to do that. You're going to turn them so that they too can receive the forgiveness of their sins. So that then they too can receive that eternal inheritance. That inheritance that Peter describes as incorruptible. So as you think about these four episodes in the book of Acts, as we flip through here quickly and looked at those, I hope it kind of caught you that word rescued is a little bit going on every time we see that word. The idea of being rescued then is these four episodes all represent dramatic acts, each illustrating a dramatic act of saving someone, Kenneth Bowles wrote in his commentary. And that's what I think we need to think about. That's the purpose of this lesson. To think about being rescued is a dramatic act. And he rescued us. Who gave himself for our sins. So that he might rescue us from this present evil age. According to the will of our God and Father. So I think it's good that we better understand this idea of being rescued. Because right in the Galatians, Paul expressly said, he rescued us. He gave himself to rescue us. And then hopefully as you see these ideas kind of go together here, let me suggest to you. Just as Joseph was rescued from slavery, he rescued us, though we were slaves of sin. We talked about how Peter was rescued from a death sentence. Jesus gave himself for us and rescued us, knowing that the wage of sin is death. For all has sinned and fall short, and what we had coming to us, we were living under a death sentence. When God rescued us by giving his son. And like Paul, we were rescued in the nick of time. I think Derek alluded to this verse this morning around the table. We were helpless to do anything about it ourselves, but at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And you'll remember when we were talking about Paul being rescued in the nick of time, the other little detail we brought about that he was saved by his citizenship. Paul tells the Philippians that our citizenship is in heaven. We'll be saved because of our citizenship. That's why we are pilgrims and strangers and sojourners. That's why we have to live like this world is not my home. And we notice that Paul was rescued with a purpose. And let me suggest to you that he rescued us with a purpose as well, so that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. See, we've been rescued. We stood in need of being saved. And understanding this truth, again, ought to bring about a genuine emotional response. It would do us good, I think, once in a while. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with using these terms, but maybe as we think about, well, I became a member of the church, or I was converted, or I obeyed the gospel, that maybe every now and then, every once in a while, as something like that is coming out of our mouth, maybe we would remember this. What really happened is more akin to being pulled from a burning building. As Paul wrote to Colossians and said, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." And what I hope this realization for us will do is that we will then have more love for our God, more love for our Savior, a greater realization of what it is He did for us, a greater value of our own salvation. As we think about ourselves, not from just having made an intellectual decision to follow some positions and Bible illustrations that I believe, but that you have been snatched up, rescued, pulled out, if you will, of a burning building. And I hope that makes us value it more, because brethren, if we value it more, we're more likely to share it with others. And if we think about that we were rescued, maybe tomorrow as we go out in the world and look around, when we see somebody, instead of thinking that's somebody that goes to church a different place, or that's somebody who's not really interested in spiritual things, we'll see them as someone who needs to be rescued. And hopefully that is a more appropriate emotional response to what God has done for us. But if you're not an audience and not a Christian, let me suggest this to you. He'll rescue you too. The Lord Jesus Christ, we're told there in Galatians 1:4, gave himself for our sins. Simple question is this: do you believe that? Will you confess that publicly? Will you then turn away from your sins and be baptized into his death? Let him rescue you. Think back now to the scripture reading Chris read from Exodus chapter 3 for us. And as we think about this idea, this concept of being rescued, recall what we read from Exodus chapter 3 and let's apply that to us. Here's what I want you to think about. The Lord has seen your affliction, and he will hear if you will call upon his name. He knows about your suffering, and he came down to rescue you. If you'll be obedient, you can join with Paul today in declaring what he said to Timothy. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Give yourself an invitation. Come forward now while we stand and while we sing.